Welcome, one and all, to another wonderful chat with us to talk about tech on this, the Noise Cancelling Podcast. I'm joined by
Samuel Roberts of TechRadar.com,
Sheree L. Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag,
Tom Bedford of TechRadar.com,
and Gareth Beavis, also of https://techradar.com. Welcome, everybody. Nice to see you on the podcast itself. Sorry, Tom. When people say .com at the end of things, it still makes me feel confused about what I'm hearing. I'm like, is that different to TechRadar? No, it's the same thing. I get worried that the internet is coming back to like the year 2000 and we're going to have to do dial-up again. I've got questions for you, Tom. Welcome to the podcast, obviously, as ever. We can see you on this Hangout, obviously. And behind you, is it a lot of sweets or what are we looking at here?
You do have some sweets. Those aren't real human eyes. They're chocolate eyeballs here. And we've got some sweets. Those aren't sweets. It looks like there's lots of sweets. They're just random bags.
We've got bags of like confectionery, which makes sense for sweets. But so you've decanted chocolate eyeballs into some Tupperware. Is that correct?
Yeah, it came in one massive plastic bag. So we ordered like a kilogram of them. And it was more convenient to put it in separate boxes.
You ordered a kilogram of chocolate eyeballs?
Yeah, well, you're not going to order less because you get more for your money if you order more, like bulk buying. You're saving money.
I mean, I can't really argue that logic. You know, we could spend probably the whole podcast going through like why you order chocolate eyeballs, but you know what? It's lockdown. You know, you do.
I've got a separate podcast just for that. It's fine.
Okay, good. We'll plug that at the end. Sheree, how are you this week?
Pretty good. Short week thanks to President's Day. At the top of the week, so we are dealing with a short week. So I'm excited.
Who's been your favorite president?
Barack Obama. Duh.
I don't know. It could have been I was trying to think of like a really obscure one, but I don't know enough about American history. Who was the one that was in Parks and Rec and was rolling that ball down a... That's a very niche reference anyway. Let's move on. Samuel, good to have you here.
Yes, lovely to be back. Thank you for having me, Gareth.
Good. You always have such wonderful audio. I always love to have that extra level of quality on the podcast.
Well, it's this Blue Yeti mic, which I bought using one of the TechRadar buying guides. And if you want a microphone, perhaps you'll consider doing the same.
Ah, just such a pro.
Nice cheap pop. Nice.
Not cheap. Relevant. Yeah, if you are looking for the best podcasting microphone, there's probably an excellent guide. Anyway, let's get on to what's happened this week. I wasn't in the production meeting yesterday, so I am really catching up as we go. Although I have done my work and done the research through the running order I was given by our producer. Lovely. So the big question this week is, as we all know, definitely I did, that Fortnite is hosting a virtual film festival. So the big question here is, I mean, obviously Fortnite's, you know, it's been a bit long in the tooth. It's been going for a while. So what event would actually get you to log back into Fortnite? Samuel, let's start with you.
Yeah, so Fortnite has hosted a number of like concerts and stuff like that to try and get people excited about the platform and create these big live events that everyone can experience at once. And yeah, this is the latest attempt. For me, it would have to be Black Widow being screened for the first time inside Fortnite in lieu of a theatrical release, because I'd rather get watching that out of the way so I can enjoy the other Disney Plus series coming that inevitably tie into it, and it will get a bit messy if they don't just release it.
Out of the way? Like, you're not looking forward to this?
No, not really. I mean, Black Widow feels like a film I've got to tick off a little bit. it looks kind of prequely and not that important to the overall story. I'm not that impressed by the trailers, even though I'm very happy that Black Widow gets her own film. That's cool. But yeah, it would have to... If I could sit inside Fortnite instead of going to the theatres, I would. That's my take.
That is an excellent answer. And yeah, I think it's the sort of thing that would instantly get everyone in there, but then really, really piss off a lot of people who are like, I don't care what. Like, have I got to put on a headset or what? Oh, no, don't want to do that. Thomas Bedford, what about you?
Me. So this was my question, which was a bit of a dumb move, because in the real world before COVID, one of my favorite things was film festivals, but I can't say that because that is literally what they're doing. So I had to kind of go to the bottom of the barrel to find something else interesting. And my answer would be maybe a series of lectures or online courses by, like, you know, important people, you know, like get explorers, get like interesting scientists like Bill Nye and stuff, and get him to do lectures in Fortnite, because right now, like, lots of countries are not doing well with their education, with schools not open. If you've got loads of kids who normally play Fortnite, like taking science lessons while playing Fortnite, I think that would be a genius idea.
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack there. Number one, the question was, what would event would get you to log back into it? So yours is going to school.
Well, if you've got someone interesting, like maybe a famous explorer or something,
why is a famous explorer like the most important person that you could listen to? I love this straight away.
Would Would Dora
This is
count?
One example. I don't think she's an explorer. I don't think she's real.
She literally is. Dora is an explorer. That's her name.
Also not real. Yeah. Okay, well, maybe a scientist then. Maybe you've got like an astrophysicist to start talking about astrophysics. I guess that's the only thing they talk about. That would be interesting. Maybe I'd log in for that or create a Fortnite account.
Okay, fine. I understand. Cherie, can you better that?
I have never played Fortnite because as I've gotten older, the Twitch reflexes have started to go, so I would just be walking fodder. So to make me do a Fortnite account, like, because the probability of me doing that is slim to none, I guess I would have to see, they would have to be signing the World Peace Accord treaty in Fortnite to make me legitimately put my fingers to a keyboard and say, yes, I need to have a Fortnite account.
I feel like, can you imagine, like, can you just imagine the media hype if that's what happens when, like, you know, the World Peace Treaty is signed, it's in Fortnite. It would be so good. Like, there's so many people hot-taking all over the place, confused at what it is. I mean, for people that don't know, by the way, Fortnite is obviously massive. Many professional sports people like playing it. And obviously others, youth, big with the youth. But it's basically a battle royale where you're chucked in with 100 other players and you've got to shoot them. And, you know, the very lazy premise of it, it's, you know, be the best. And obviously it appeals to a lot of people. And it's free, which makes a lot of people really excited by it. And it's probably it's definitely one of the biggest games of this generation by a long way. And it's very much known for its presence and trying to get people involved in the world rather than just playing the game. I don't understand, like, the film festival, Tom. Are you also trying to stop yourself being shot by 99 other people?
No, by the sounds of it. And as with Sherry, I don't play Fortnite, so I don't really understand how it works. But by the sounds of it, there is a separate stage when you're not shooting people.
Because that would be a great film festival, though, at the same time. So maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's what they're going to be, the USP. I've thought about this, and the only thing that would get me to log in would be if that's the only way my nan would talk to me. I like to video call her. I like to speak to her because I haven't seen her in about a year. And if she was like, you know what, I'm going exclusively in Fortnite if you want to have a chat, that's the only way I would do it. And I'll be honest, it's unlikely. But she did get, aggressively good at Wii Sports. Like, she could do the old bow and arrow, hit the targets every single time at, I think, early 70s. And, like, I played her and I got nearly a perfect score and still lost. It was amazing. So I'm not ruling it out. She could very much be a Fortnite fanatic, just hasn't experienced it yet. But also the same thing when she first was introduced to online shopping, panicked because she wasn't putting things in the basket quick enough and there was someone on the other end that would be waiting to put them in the basket for her. So swings and roundabouts on that one. Hi, Nan, just in case you're listening. Right, let's move on to things that happen. No, of course not. Sorry. See, this is how bad I am not being part of the production meeting. It's the Gadget Hall of Fame. I love this new feature.
Well, who
it's
won?
Wonderful.
Who won? Big question.
Oh God. Oh.
Tom's answer was genuinely brilliant. Mine was so generic. I would personally vote for Tom.
Me too.
What, Tom's was like go to school and meet explorers.
It was like free education distributed through Fortnite, which is a free platform. I think
TED Talks on Fortnite.
Yeah, but I was about to say, Tom, you're basically describing TED Talks, which exist on the internet already.
Yeah, but no one goes to them. Lots of people play Fortnite. This would be a great way of...
Yeah, but the question is, what would you do? And you're like basically saying, oh, if someone made it a bit harder to go to a TED Talk, I would sign up to Fortnite.
Yeah.
No offense, Gareth, but I would rather watch some like talks than dial in with your nan. That's my take on this. You know.
Okay. Well, I'm giving you and me the points then. We're going to combine our answers and we get the points. If my nan premieres Black Widow in Fortnite, we're both there. Done. Right. Now I've managed to mess up two bits of administration. Let's go for the first mess up. And it's the Gadget Hall of Fame. And Samuel, you're down to bring something into this nonsensical hall, which is now filled with trainers with stopwatches on, Swider's silly headphones, and I can't remember what John brought, a very old media player.
Yeah. So, you know, I wanted to put the Game Boy Color in here. Is obviously a phenomenal handheld gaming device, but I was informed that that was against the spirit of the feature, is to pick something kind of silly. Is that not the case?
I think it's whatever you want. I feel like, you know, we could talk for hours about the Game Boy Color, which is, you know, it's not the truest Game Boy because, you know, it ruined it by adding in color into a monochrome world, but still a genius device.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that the Game Boy Advance SP is the ultimate. I was going to say,
yes.
That's the ultimate like Game Boy, because it could play Game Boy Color and original Game Boy games, but also Game Boy Advance games, and it had a backlight. That was the perfect Game Boy.
Yes. Perhaps
that should go in there. Also in the running, Gareth, was a shitty Power Rangers watch that I had when I was like 8 that my grandparents bought me.
Keep talking.
It was a Christmas where they told me, you are not allowed any more Lego because you have too much Lego, so think of something else that you want. And I was walking through Toys R Us and saw a watch and on a whim just went, I'll have that one. I had a game in it where you played the red Power Ranger and you could beat up putty men. What were the villains in the Power Rangers TV show of the 90s?
How hard was the game? Was it a good game? Did you complete the game?
I played the game non-stop. It was not good. It was like a kind of like basic Game & Watch, sort of like black and white things lit up on the screen. But I played a hell of a lot of it. I did complete it. Because it only took about 10 minutes, but nonetheless, it was a novel item, but I think I will go with the Game Boy Advance SP, Gareth. I think that deserves a place in the Hall of Fame more.
I agree. Although, if you had said the gaming watch, I had the Tetris watch, and that was just phenomenal. I loved that so much, like Tetris on your wrist all the time.
Did you get it confiscated when you went to school?
Did I? I don't think I did, but I tell you what I did do. My mum... kept going, can I have your watch, because she wanted to play Tetris, and so she would play that, like she'd just have my watch and just play it for like hours on end. My mum also, I don't know if it was true, she told me it was, that there was a trend that when the Nintendo Entertainment System, or the NES to a lot of people, came around, the NES, that I came downstairs late at night and I'd find her playing it, because she would play Super Mario Brothers, and she just got really into it. And I was really confused, so I was like, this is my game. And she told me that lots of her friends played it, and it was quite a thing. So I don't know if that's true. I should look that up to see if it was a situation. But yeah, so she was often into the games that I liked. So if you brought in the gaming watch, I would have accepted it. But I think, yeah, the Game Boy Advance SP was such a perfect Venn diagram of all the gaming opportunities on the Nintendo Game Boy in one. It's so good.
Yeah, I think they should still sell them. I think people would still buy them if they sold them. But
I bought one not very long ago on eBay.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. Was pretty good.
Millennials hoarding their old nonsense. Classic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just qualify for millennial by, I think, 2.5 years. Right. That was a good... I like that. I think that's going to be the one that everyone gets in there and sees all the dross and goes, oh, thank God, there's a Game Boy. Final question, though, and feel free, Tom and Cherie, to add in. What games would you put with it if you only have, say, three?
For Game Boy? Definitely Tetris. Gotta do Tetris.
Yep.
A Castlevania.
I never thought it really worked on the Game Boy. But Wario Land, Super Mario Land 3, was an absolute genius title. I'd play that. That was great.
I'd go for that too.
Tom's just sitting there going, what's a Game Boy?
I'm just looking up. Yeah, I'm far too young for this.
Oh!
I think I have played one, though, because they have a port of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, which I loved on the computer. And I think my friend had an old version of the Game Boy Color one, which is a completely different game, and I was hugely disappointed by it. So I think I might have played one. That's a cool. That's going in the Hall of Fame.
That was the Japanese RPG style Harry Potter game, if I recall, like a turn-based combat game.
I think you're right.
Yeah, wow. I think that's a good shout. I think
this got niche very, very quickly. That's quite impressive.
Niche to one of the biggest franchises in the world.
Yeah, but the Japanese RPG version niche. Come on. But yeah, I think that's absolutely right. Okay, well, again, if you walked in, you're like, what's this Harry Potter game? I think in about half an hour in, you'd be like, well, you are imprisoned in a Gadget Hall of Fame, but, you know, that comes in there too. So, right, so let's talk about the news. Right, Tom, you're on because you have been, well, for many reasons. Number one, because you are an excellent guest to have on the podcast. You bring many wonderful anecdotes, but let's talk about one specifically this week, the Mi 11 hands-on review that you've done. It would be a full review, but you, as a diligent journalist, don't feel like you've really had enough time playing with this phone.
No, 10 minutes is probably not enough time to do a full review, unfortunately. Although
you've written, you played with it, used it for many hours in the
hands-on. It has been. I have had it for a few days now. 10 minutes is a hyperbolic exaggeration. But yeah, I've been testing out this phone that Xiaomi originally unveiled in December, back when the only thing on our minds was Christmas, and they then showed it off for a global launch in... Oh, it must have been a few weeks ago now, early February, and now I've been testing out this phone, which will probably be a big competitor to Samsung's Galaxy S21 when this phone comes out in March.
So if people haven't heard about Xiaomi so far, how would you describe, because it's a very quickly becoming a very big name in the smartphone world.
They're the third biggest smartphone company now, and that could change now that Honor no longer belongs to Huawei.
I thought Huawei nibbled back past again recently. It's definitely neck and neck between the two of them, isn't it?
Yeah, but at the moment the count for Huawei includes Honor, as far as I'm aware, which it no longer has, so that could change to Xiaomi becoming second. By the way, it's a Chinese smartphone company that has skyrocketed, you're right, in the West, because their phones are quite affordable and still good, which is why they're kind of beating some of the stalwarts in their own markets. Like, they're one of the biggest cheap phone makers now and have got a big flagship selection as well.
I saw your tweet with the where you sort of zoomed in on lots of things, and you said this is the best macro camera of any smartphone. And the pictures, if you do want to have a look, Tom, what's your Twitter handle? I should know this off by heart, but I don't. Don't pretend you don't know.
It doesn't seem like Tom knows.
It's by Tom Bedford. I had to quickly look it up because I didn't know. No, but yeah, it's got like a. It's called what's called a telemacro lens, which means it zooms in quite a bit for the macro shots, which is really good because usually when you take a close-up picture, a macro picture, you get your phone in the way, so it's all dark, so lots of times it's useless, but this is much better. And when I'm testing smartphone cameras, the one thing I really love is when I actually find it fun to take pictures, and that's what I've been finding with macro pictures, so it's actually been enjoyable to test the camera, which is always a good sign.
The coffee granules and the bubble wrap were just like, you looked at it first time, you sort of always look at a picture on a tweet before you read what it's about, and then you go, holy crap, like this is a phone doing zoom-ins. I thought that was just like some boulders, but no, it's coffee granules.
That
it's
could
really
be
cool.
Like a big shot of a field or something that you're looking top down or from a drone. Like, it could be anything. It was fun to run around my house trying to zoom in on stuff.
Cool. You should have done some chocolate eyeballs.
Oh, yeah, I should have done. I'll do it after this. I'll tweet it after this.
And Samuel, we were, again, talking outside of work about wonderful things that are always happening. I feel really sorry for you that it seems like the big stories never land in work hours. But the Snyder Cut, what's the correct name of the Justice League version?
Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Oh, that was it, yeah. Has been given a better and bigger trailer. I can't believe it's 4 hours long. This is just
the trailer?
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a 7-hour film, but they wanted to get half of it in to really pull people through. But I know that Justice League never really went down very well, including with me. But I'm fairly hyped for this. They've added an extra shooting. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So they dropped the trailer for this. Snyder has been completing like his old cut of the film before he left the project due to personal reasons. For HBO Max, and got apparently $70 million to complete the effects for it. Wow. And he also shot a new scene with Jared Leto reprising his role as the Joker opposite Ben Affleck's Batman, which they shot in Canada late last year. I don't think this film is going to be good, but it is. I think as we're all starved of content, and there hasn't been like a new superhero movie hitting kind of theaters for a long time, people will watch it out of curiosity. Snyder's fans are definitely well up for it. When I was quite critical of Batman vs. Superman on the site last week, someone DM'd me saying, BVS is a masterpiece, STFU fatty. And I was like, wow, no one's called me fatty since I was like 10 years old.
Also, BVS sounds like Beavis, so I'm well into that.
Was it you? I don't know. I think it's an interesting project, I guess. It's basically making a new version of a film with a load of footage that no one's ever seen before. The trailer looked very grim. There were no jokes in it, which is what people kind of expect from a Zack Snyder film. Sheree, do you have thoughts on this?
I looked at this trailer. I had no hopes for this movie being any better than it was the first time around. It's just going to... Am I going to watch it? Yes, because I love a good hate watch. It's so, so cathartic to watch something and just know that you're just going to pile streams and rivers of vitriol upon it. And that is what I am looking forward to doing with this. The thing about it is Zack Snyder just paints this grim brush over all of these superheroes. There's only one grim superhero on this team, and that is Batman. Batman is the grim one. Granted, when you get to Flashpoint, yes, Superman is just this godlike dictator. Okay. But the rest of them, come on, man, don't do this. No one wants this. No one wants a non-funny Aquaman. No one wants a non-cocky Flash. Why are we doing this? Why is the world just saturated in sepia? And it looks like an old-timey film set in the 1800s, like we're about to go have a shootout at OK Corral. And I'm going to watch it, but, oh, it's going to be the greatest hate watch ever.
I feel like if it's a hate watch, you could be disappointed. It sounds like it's just going to sort of skate boringly down the middle and be like, yeah, good, long, better than it was. You know, like, did anyone ever watch Daredevil, the original film, and then watch the director's cut, which was a million times better?
No.
Yeah, they changed the music, right, and added a bunch of plot points back into the film.
Yeah, and made it darker, I think. They just turned up the contrast or turned it down, whichever way works better.
I don't think it made it a good film, but it was nonetheless an interesting experiment. Yeah, it's better for sure.
And then they made Elektra, and then that ruined everything. So that was just a shame.
Yeah, this is sure a thing that's happening. I think if I have like one frustration about this, is that Warner Brothers doesn't seem to have a proper plan for rolling this out internationally. So if you've got HBO where you are, which in some Nordic regions do, obviously the US does, you can watch this film when it launches in March. But in the UK, there's no visibility on how they're actually planning to release it. And that seems like such a mess when a streaming quality copy of that film will be available on day one and no doubt doing the rounds in illegal places. And it's like, why not just release the film for like 15 quid and people can just watch it and get on with their lives, you know?
Yeah, that's the bit that's always confusing. You know, when people are trying to stop piracy but then won't make it available. It's just, I understand, you know, people should be able to choose how they deal with their own IP, but there's a certain swell of like things that will definitely happen is, you know, if Game of Thrones was limited to the finale to one place at a certain time, it's going to go wider. There's just no way around it. And it's unfortunate, but unless you're going to up the systems across the world to stop piracy, you might as well, like you said, just work out a way to let people see it. It's going to work out better overall, I'm sure. Right. Well, let's hope that the Zack Snyder's Justice League isn't a failure, because, you know, let's be celebratory. Let's make sure the industry, whatever it is a happy one. But in terms of failures, now this is something that I think Cherie's going to have to talk to us about and contextualize a little bit. But power GPU, AMD processors, and a possible failure rate that's abnormally high. Give us the lowdown, Cherie.
So while this is theoretically out of my purview because this is about desktop chips, I'm going to speak on this. So basically what's going on is that AMD has been on a roll as of late, not just in laptops, but particularly in desktops with their CPUs. I'm a huge fan of the Threadripper myself because it's just fun to say. Threadripper! It's just fun to say. But the latest spate of chips, the 5000 series, are experiencing abnormally high failure rates to the tune of 6%. And 6% doesn't sound like a lot, but in the grand scheme of things, typically if there's going to be a failure rate in the fail, let's back up a little bit. The fail is that they are DOA. So you sit there, you waited, you battled the scalpers, you won, you got the CPU that you've been waiting for. You go to install it into your PC. You think everything's working. You go plug that bad boy up. Nada. Nothing. Zilch. It's dead. It's dead chip.
But I think we should probably contextualize this. This is Power GPU, which is a PC builder, which is making this claim. They originally posted a tweet about the failure rate being quite high and dead on arrival, as you said, but that tweet has since been deleted. However, they are responding to people's tweets asking questions about it, so it's not a complete climb down. But then other people have, sort of other outlets have spoken to manufacturers and hardware providers who are all saying that they are only seeing a 2% failure rate. Now, AMD, TechRadar spoke to AMD to find out what's going on, and they gave us the statement, AMD is looking into a claim by a custom PC builder regarding higher than expected failure rates they're experiencing with Ryzen 5000 series desktop processors. We are unaware of any other similar issues at this time. It's an interesting one because Power GPU is making a very big case of saying, yeah, this is a problem. Some people are saying that they're just installing them wrongly, that they're making them go pop, which seems unlikely as well. It's a confusing one because you don't want to, obviously, these are very much unsubstantiated claims. So we're not going to say there's a high failure rate because some people are saying it's happening to them and some people are saying it isn't. So that's always a difficult one. But Cherie, like, is this a wider problem in the industry that, you know, the people have, that there's maybe stuff's being rushed out too quickly, or that the scarcity of things is making it more difficult to manufacture these chips. I don't know. It just feels weird.
Well, and to your point, if this is happening, if, like, indeed AMD is, like, Power GPU just got a bad batch of chips, it speaks to production. It does speak to COVID scarcity and things of that nature. I think it's bold that Power GPU went to Twitter and did not go to AMD first. I don't know how that relationship is going to maintain itself after this debacle, but we shall see. I think it's a bold move. I think it's a move of desperation. So it takes a lot to say, hey, this powerful company is shafting me. So we'll see how that plays out. But it's just rough right now if you want a piece of tech. Like, with COVID scarcity going on, continuing on, and scalpers here, there, and everywhere. And then they have the nerve to complain that they're not the bad guys. Yes, yeah. You are. You're horrible people, scalpers.
This is definitely the bigger point. Like, we're talking about scalpers, people that run, you know, lots of bots and can go in and get hundreds of the thing that people want, whether it is RTX GPUs for really powerful PCs or a PS5 or an Xbox Series X. It is ruining people's chances of getting something. And I can't remember who it was. I should have probably done more research, but we have segued here. But Adam Majestica wrote a really interesting piece looking at the fact that PS5 scalper came out and said, look, it's unfair. You know, this is, you know, we're just middlemen. We're the same as a farmer who sells their milk to a supermarket and the supermarket sells it for a higher price. And Adam made the point, he's like, no. This is like you going into the supermarket and buying all the milk and then standing in front being like, do you want some milk? It's more expensive outside here.
Yeah, like, why would you even make it? Like, for you to be the farmer, you would have to make the PS5, bruh. I don't even know why.
They're the supermarket, they're saying. So no. you'd have to go to Sony and make a distribution deal. That makes you the supermarket. Not going to Curry's or, you know, GameStop wherever and buying one and selling it out. That doesn't make any sense.
No, like, you're still that shady guy in the alley with the trench coat that, are you going to sell me tickets or are you going to flash me? Or are you going to mug me? Both? Maybe a combination of the three. But no, scalpers are not good people. Like, they are, like, there's no reason that people are still, we are still publishing articles on where you can find a PS5 or an Xbox Series X because of these people. It is ridiculous. Like, we're in COVID. They're like, as we're saying, like, people are going to be forced to watch this 4-hour cut of a movie because we're just dying for entertainment. And here you are. Oh, let me buy up all the PS5s and just mark them up to an astronomical rate. Like, that's it's unfathomable. You know what it's like? I have a better analogy. So McDonald's in the U.S., I don't know if they're doing this over in the U.K., they currently are running a Happy Meal with Pokemon cards in there. I'm not sure if they're limited edition or not, but adults are buying up these Pokemon cards. The babies can't get any Happy Meals with Pokemon cards because adults have been swarming. And like, listen, I too want to be the very best like no one's ever known, but not to the tune of just snatching Pokemon cards from kids. By, like, what do you look like as a grown-ass adult? Like, hey, can I have a number one and can I have 10 Happy Meals? You don't have any goddamn kids. Why are you buying up? Buy two. If you need Pokemon cards that bad, just buy two. Don't buy all the Pokemon cards.
So I was reading, according to Games Radar, another one of their future alumni, they're not only people waking up at 5 a.m. to try and get a Pokemon Happy Meal, but which are only available at select McDonald's, not just everyone, so people are travelling, but they're buying them in bulk and just chucking the food out. Like, getting up at 5 a.m. to go to McDonald's just to throw away a Happy Meal, that doesn't feel like a good thing in any way, shape, or form.
Mind you, there's people starving. Like, there's, like, I need us to be better as a species. Like, for real. Like, this is really unconscionable. Like, that's who the scalpers are. They are the people waking up at 5 a.m, driving great lengths to go buy Happy Meals to get Pokemon cards. And the kids who love, like, I remember loving Happy Meals when I was a kid. Like, and so McDonald's has had this put, like, okay, you can only buy 5 Happy Meals at a time. Who needs 5 Happy Meals unless you have a big family? Stop this madness, adults. Stop it, stop it, stop it.
See, Power GPU, look what you've done. You started off putting a tweet out, and now we're upset at McDonald's. So well done. Thanks. Thanks for that, Power GPU. Tom, tell me about Google Stadia. I can't remember if you like it or hate it. I feel like you've gone back and forth with it over the years.
No, I've always liked it since I've been using it. I'm probably one of the members on team that is a staunch defender of it.
I was confused by that. That's why.
Yeah. I assume this is a segue into the next item on the news list where it is
Tom,
coming
don't
installed.
Lift the curtain. Don't lift the curtain.
Was that not a segue on your part?
Yeah, but then you pointed to it loudly.
Oh, well, don't make an obvious segue if you don't want people to call it out.
It wasn't obvious to the readers. Business, not readers.
No, you should have mixed it into McDonald's. I've gone from McDonald's to Stadia that way. There's got to be a link there somewhere.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm hating it.
McStadia.
Anyway, yes, Tom, I'm segueing into the fact that Stadia is becoming pre-installed on Chromebooks, despite the fact that Google has just shut down its own development studios for Stadia games.
Yeah, so I think the shutdown of the developers has been greatly overstated as a death knell for Stadia, which I don't think it is. They've just realized that no one really cares about their own games, but they're still there to put out other people's games. I assume that's why they're picking on Chromebooks as a sign to say, like, we're not giving up. They've already put them out on lots of smartphones come with Stadia pre-installed and have for some time now, so it's just another stepping stone in that direction, I presume.
Would it encourage you or discourage you from buying a Chromebook? Given you are a Stadia fan, so you're surely the target demographic.
Since it is not hard to install Stadia on something that isn't a Chromebook, I don't think it's really something that would encourage you to buy any device. Would save you the 10 seconds of typing www.stadia.com in, but there might be people that buy a Chromebook and hadn't considered Stadia and have it in front of them, which would make them use it.
Just going to see if that is...
I think it's stadia.google.com or something.
Luckily, it does go through now, so there you are. Don't worry.
Nice.
Doesn't it come... I did read the story. I subbed it. But doesn't it come with a trial as well, for Stadia, pre-installed in the Chromebooks? I feel like it does.
It may do, yeah.
I'm asking that, rhetorically. I don't, Tom, expect you to know that straight away, but I think it does come with a trial as well, so that gives people a gateway into the premise itself, which is good. I mean, I still think the idea of cloud gaming, like your screen, whichever one you're looking at with an internet connection, being a games console, just surely that's the future of gaming. But it feels like this whole cloud gaming thing just keeps being like VR is a thing that's obviously going to happen one day, and then just keeps moving to next year, the next year, the next year, and like some analytical firm will say, oh yeah, in 2025 it's going to be worth 40 bajillion pounds, but currently it's worth 12, and it feels like, well, we got there and it's not quite got to that point yet, so who knows what's going to happen with that. Right, before we go to Sam doing the news blast, Sheree, IKEA's new gaming line is confusing. I don't understand it. This story did inexplicably well for us.
It did well for us too, and I was like, yeah. What?
Give us a rundown.
So IKEA is teaming with ASUS Republic of Gamers gaming line to make gaming furniture, kind of, sort of, maybe. So you're going to get they've got a weird looking chair that like only IKEA can bring you, a gaming desk that is kind of motorized, so it's kind of a standing desk. But my favorite thing out of this
how is it kind of motorized? Sorry,
like, because
either is or isn't. It's got a motor in it, or it doesn't.
Like, it's a standing desk, but it's like I think it's one of those crank ones. So it's like you are the motor, and Soviet Russia, you pumped it. But anyway, my favorite thing out of this lineup that IKEA is doing is that they have this wooden reticulated hand to hold your headset, and I want it, but I'm sad about it, because I'm like, okay, you teamed with ROG, you team with Republic of Gamers. I want this thing to be metal. I want it to have customizable RGB that works with ASUS Armory Crate. I want to be able to maneuver the fingers to give devil horns, so when I go pick up my headset, it's just looking badass and flashing.
I'm looking at the pictures now. I feel like you probably could make it. The fingers do seem to move, so I feel like you maybe do the devil horns.
but I wanted to be RGB'd out. But also I imagine when I see it, I also think of the Addams Family thing. And I also think of, what do the five fingers say to the face? And they're just slapping the hell out of someone with it. So it brings me much joy.
Yeah, I'm glad we ended on a note of violence there. That was lovely. Right, let's take that aggression, I don't know, and into Samuel's section, because he is going to be smashing up the news blast. And I, after last week with Matt Swider, who quite flagrantly flouted the rules and then just didn't give a shit, which I'm still upset about a week on, Samuel has been doing the opposite. He's been prepping. He's been in training centres, going backwards and forwards, you know, montaging left, right and centre. So he's ready.
Yeah, I have been practicing a little bit. I'm struggling with the order of words in Samsung Galaxy Book Pro. I keep putting like Pro after Samsung, and it's like, it's shitting me up, I'll be honest.
This is the level of preparation that I'm down with. You know, if you do happen to get the record at 14 today, I would absolutely salute this. Not someone just wandering in and just reading off some stuff.
I did make notes here though, so I guess you need it to be original content generated out of thin air, Gareth, is that right?
As long as you're not reading said notes, that's
all right,
fine.
Okay, wow. I mean, this is harsh remit, but fair. Okay.
The rules are very simple. You can't read from a script and you have to give the gist. I might start a slogan. No script, all gist. That's okay. What we're going for.
Very catchy.
Yeah, but because I'm so believing you, I've turned my timer to the analog rather than the digital to make it feel more official. That's how ready I am. By the way, if you didn't know this, if you've got an iPhone, use the stopwatch. Give it a swipe right. You've got an analog one. Most people don't know that. Right. On your marks. Get set. News blast.
Okay. Oculus Quest 2 update will add 120Hz refresh rate to the headset. This is a big game changer because it puts it in a better position up against PC headsets. New Samsung Galaxy Book Pro laptops may include OLED screens and S Pen support. Previous Samsung laptops have had stylus support, but this could be a step up in terms of usability. Mario Kart 8. There's some footage doing the rounds of the game running at 4K, and people are saying this is what it's like if the Nintendo Switch, the next console, was 4K. That hasn't been confirmed yet. It's heavily rumoured, but goddamn it, Mario, it looks nice. Xbox wireless headset has been confirmed for the Series S and Series X. The PlayStation 5 has its own bespoke wireless headset, so why not the Xbox as well? The Boys Season 3 has started filming. I didn't like Season 2 that much, but hey, it's people seem to really like that show on Amazon Prime, so yeah, it's carrying on. Netflix's massive spy movie, The Gray Man, will feature Chris Evans as a villain and Ryan Gosling as the main character. It's apparently a bit like Captain America the Winter Soldier, but without the superheroes.
Stop.
Oh, is that
stop.
It? Okay,
that's it.
Too many words.
There were many words.
Well, you said gist. I gave gist. That comes at a cost.
That is absolutely the difficulty. You know, how much brevity can you bring with gist? You know, that's the second tagline to this very fun game. I thought it was good. I enjoyed that though. I felt like you gave some good indication, and I felt bad. So I didn't mean to interject with the fact that Boys Season 2, you didn't enjoy it, but I really was disappointed. Like, I really enjoyed the first series, or it unnerved me a lot, but enough to make me feel like I wanted to keep watching it. And then the season 2 came out, and I got bored in the first episode and haven't carried on.
Yeah.
Such a drop down.
Isn't season 3, aren't they supposed to be doing Herogasm?
Yeah, so an episode apparently where, or an arc where lots of superheroes go to an island and have a big orgy. That's on the cards, yeah.
Well, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, my problem with season 2 is that The Boys has a bit of an edgelordy kind of exterior of, oh, look how shocking we are. But tempered it quite well in season 1 with a bit of heart and good characterization. Yeah. And this season, I felt like they just lacked that. And it was just like, oh, rock music while somebody's head explodes. And I was kind of over it.
At least they're going to get rid of it for season 3 with the island full of orgies. That sounds much more mature.
Yeah, very, very intellectual.
Cool. Well, I think we're going to go from one series to another. Again, I wasn't here for the production meeting, so I'm really confused about this one. But we're going straight in for a back to the unpopular opinion. And I don't know who's doing this week. I haven't interrogated this much, but it just says WandaVision is great and Gareth is wrong. Who's picking this one up?
I mean, I can pick this up for this unpopular opinion. Let your hate unfurl. But I'm actually going to be defending WandaVision because Gareth is wrong. He has an unpopular opinion.
I forgot about the jingle now. We should come up with jingles for every single segment that we do at the end right now. But I'm going to defend myself after you speak, Cherie.
Well, no, I just want to know, have you continued watching WandaVision?
Yes, and I love it.
Oh, what?
I adore this show now. This is my favorite. It's my favorite thing. I woke up the other day and it was Tuesday, and I was gutted that it wasn't Friday because I thought it was like I'd woken up and it was time for WandaVision. And then I spend all day getting annoyed that I can't watch it because, you know, I have to do life things. I don't want to sort of sneak it in like on a toilet somewhere because that'd be awful. So I have to wait till everyone goes to sleep.
Well, okay. So since you are now a convert, then this unpopular opinion will change. Now we're going to talk about how WandaVision is reteaching us how to watch television.
We should say, just in case you haven't watched this and you are saving it, I don't know what we're going to say, but there's probably spoilers. So
maybe,
you know,
some spoilers. I'm going to try to make this as spoiler-free as possible. So
I'm
maybe
not. So I'd say if you are going to enjoy WandaVision and later date, I'd jump off now. Tech Raider's great for Twitter. Carry on.
That feeling that you feel, like everyone feels it now, like, oh my God, it's not Friday. Why is it not Friday? Especially since we're coming, like the rumor has, or has it been confirmed, that the last three episodes of WandaVision are going to be an hour long.
What?
So there, yeah, supposedly it's going to be an hour long, like hour long episodes.
Have you heard this, Samuel Roberts?
No, my understanding is they're all meant to be about 300 minutes long, the Disney Plus Marvel series, cut down into different episodes, so this is news to me, but exciting.
But because I don't think they can't, like, everything that needs to happen can't be done in 30 minutes and three remaining episodes.
The math doesn't work there. We've got 180, it means we've had 180 minutes and we've got 2 hours left, three episodes. Maybe it'd be 40 minutes each. Who knows?
Something. Well, keep in mind that the credits are like 15 minutes themselves.
Yeah, really confusing. the first time this was on, I looked down and saw how long to go. I was like, oh, right, okay. And I watched the entirety of the credits thinking, hang on, what is this? Am I watching something? No, it's just a list of names. And at the end of it, it told me some different Polish stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. That was a waste of time.
Yeah, so it's weird. But
anyway,
it's reteaching us how to watch television. Like, there is a excitement to, are you watching? What time are you watching? Are you going to be up at midnight if you're on the West Coast, or 3 o'clock in the morning, as I have been watching on the East Coast? Because I do not want to be spoiled, because as soon as the show debuts, a lot of people have their spoilery articles up, and I do not want to be spoiled. I want to be able to go on social media and read news without there being a big old WandaVision spoiler right in the title. So I am waking up at 3 a.m. to watch it. And that just goes to show how good this show is. At first, naysayers like Gareth at the beginning was just like, oh, I don't get it. What is it doing?
I still don't get it.
What do you mean you don't get it?
I still don't get why you'd have a really good show that actively tries to put people off.
I don't think it was actively trying to put people off. I think that it was giving you something new. Like,
boring shows. It's
no,
boring.
Yeah, like super, like, yes, superheroes. But like, this is the first, like, one of the few superhero movies that content that we're seeing where you see a superhero going through grief, and there's not a whole bunch of explosions. Like, it's really focusing on like the mental health issues of it and the, like, how people cope. So I think it's brilliant. I think it's brilliant that she sat there. She kind of did. We don't know yet. She made up her own little world where she can't be, where there's no pain, no hurt, none of that, and just is living in that delusion. I think it's brilliant.
I mean, Samuel, I'm surprised you didn't know I liked it by the fact that I've started harassing you about our content very heavily.
Yeah, but you don't have to like something to WhatsApp me about a potential explainer we could be publishing on Tech Radar, Gareth.
I want to know more, and I'm like, I've got a direct line here of someone who will just write things to help me out understand more. So I'm like, yeah, Saturday night, like 11:30 at night, I'm like, Samuel, have we thought about blah 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 blah?
I agree though that like the weekly sort of cadence of it is part of the magic, the same as it was with The Mandalorian. If all of this dropped at once, it would not have the same impact. Like, creating an ongoing conversation. WandaVision's sort of taken over pop culture a little bit, but I think it's a good thing because, a Netflix show can really come and go, but yeah, this is something that people have talked about, are going to have talked about for 9 weeks once it's done.
Tom, have you watched it?
No, I don't like Marvel stuff, so this is something I'm letting gladly fly me by.
So So what's, I mean, I know that the fact that you haven't watched it, like, how much has it pierced your consciousness that this is happening?
A little bit, but it sounds like a rip-off of a myriad of online TV shows that are out there. So I'm surprised.
That's the point.
No, I mean, like, the whole concept of, like, the meta-narrative and stuff feels like something that 100 YouTube shows have already done, and I'm surprised that people are now acting like it's a big thing, but maybe they're doing it differently, I don't know.
People don't watch YouTube, Tom.
No, it's not like it's massive.
Yeah, everyone watches streaming platforms. That's the new hotness. Everyone knows that. I mean, let's talk about YouTube TV.
YouTube is still a streaming platform.
Yeah, but it's for, like, you know, pandas sneezing and shit. Everyone knows that.
Gareth hasn't been on YouTube since 2006.
Yeah, no, because I watch Charlie shows on... Finger. What? No.
Charlie bit his finger. Yeah, it definitely happened.
Like, it did, but so long ago.
Okay, fine. I watched a bit about Electric Eels the other day. Well, good. That was on YouTube. Carry on.
All right. When did you get hooked, Gareth? Because episodes 1 and 2, you were just like, no, this is rubbish.
I mean, when I was ill and I was running out, I didn't have anything to, like, on the go to watch. and I thought, okay, well, you know, I'll give it one more go. And episode 3, I was like, okay, maybe there's something here. Like, nothing, literally nothing else to do, because I'd finished Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I watched nearly the entire series of from start to finish. I was like, okay, well, I was just in the mood just to watch things. And then episode 4, yeah, really started to heat up. And I realized it was much more Marvel-y than I thought it was going to be. I was just really confused that the first two were, like you say, pastiches of 50s and 60s sitcoms. But those shows are boring, really dull. And I was like, why are they just doing, like, slapstick weirdness with some of our favorite Marvel characters? Very confused. But obviously got a lot better now.
Do you want to know what the next big streaming TV show is going to be?
What is it?
It's going to be a Netflix series called Behind Her Eyes that just dropped as we're recording this. Apparently has a really, really stupid ending that a lot of people are going to talk about. So, yeah, it's like a mini series that's out now. But, yeah, I'm going to watch that and probably write some explainers on it, Gareth.
Cool, well, I have to watch it just so I can annoy you at the wrong time of day.
You know what series I want to watch, but not enough to invest in CBS All Access or whatever it's calling itself right now? The Stand.
Yeah, I hear mixed things about The Stand. I kind of like, yeah, I hear it's a bit of a flawed adaptation.
I mean, it's hard to do that book. Like, it's one of my favorite Stephen King books, and I loved the miniseries when it first came out when I was a kid. I've read that book so many times. I've read the extended version, so I've read this potentially 1,500-page missive. So I do want to see this take. I just do not want to pay for CBS All Access. I see no point of it.
Sheree, I have to ask you, have we had any correspondence from the noise cancelling podcast with 2Ls at futurenet.com email address, or have you not looked at it again?
You know it's the latter.
I didn't know that, but I had a strong guess.
You know it's the latter. Let me. I will look today.
Only
God.
You has the passcode. That's the password. I don't know.
Wait,
how,
why?
Because you set it up.
Oh. All right. Well, I'll take a look.
Okay. So if you do want to get in contact with us, we do have the noise cancelling podcast at futurenet.com. That's cancelling with 2 L's. We don't have a Twitter account, which is arguably much more useful. But if you do want to listen to more of this wonderful noise cancelling podcast, you can get us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Please give us 5 stars on Apple, because that helps us get up those lovely charts. We're going to have to go now, though, because we have overrun our time. So, Tom, how do people get in contact with you? We've already talked about By Tom Bedford as an excellent place to see macro shots.
Yeah, let me just double check. That's actually my Twitter. Oh, yeah, okay, it is. All good. That is where you will tweet me if you want me to check it. I check it at least once a month, so that'll be it.
Cool. And Tech Radar, obviously a good place to go and read all your work. What's going on at the moment? What you got bubbling?
Well, I'm going to have this Xiaomi Mi 11 piece soon, and I'm doing a cheeky little piece about these macro cameras at the weekend, this coming weekend. So if you want to see more really close-up pictures of things that are probably food, because that's all I can see right now, go there. More chocolate eyes.
I genuinely do want to see, I do want to see that, but I really like those macro shots, so I'm going to check that out. I mean, I have to anyway, because it's the job, but, you know, as a punter, I would as well. Sheree, how about you?
As always, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram, and now even Clubhouse at Miss Smith 11. That is MISS Smith 11, and what am I working on? A lot of reviews. Like, I have an Acer Concept D Easel 7 review coming up, and I have a face-off between the ASUS ROG X13 Flow, and I totally botched that name, and the M1 MacBook Pro, and maybe the Dell XPS 13. I don't know. We'll see how froggy I'm feeling by the week's end. But as always, for all things laptops, tablets, and a couple of side things, some VR, some headphones, some stuff, you can go to Laptop Mag and check out me and all of my amazing writers. And as always, laptop then, laptop now, laptop forever!
Okay. Samuel.
I'm Samuel W. Roberts on Twitter. I mostly tweet about old video games and other nonsense.
Great. That's a good remit. And obviously you give some excellent updates and looks into things like WandaVision on TechRadar.
Yep, that's right. That's basically what we're doing at the moment. We have weekly recaps going up and also explainers. WandaVision on TechRadar. We've got all the coverage.
It's genuinely good enough to me to annoy Samuel about it, so that's always useful.
Most of it is good.
Come on.
Gareth does tell me about the ones he doesn't like or he'd like changing. He'd be like, hey, have you thought about doing this, and this? But
stop lifting the curtain. Cherie's just shouted about how good her brand is, and we're sitting here going like, don't come too much. I mean, you might not enjoy all of it. Yeah.
No. The coverage is very good, but Gareth just thinks that there's a couple of tweaks he can make to supercharge it. That's all I'm alluding to. The content is fantastic.
I think we over-recap. That's all it is. But I feel like you also get a very good detailed description of what happened in the episode.
Can you have too much detail? Unbelievable.
Exactly. Yeah, sorry. You know, let's say our dirty laundry in public, why not? I've been Gareth Beavis, Super Beav on Twitter, but the main place to get all your tech news, your fan insights, and all the rest is just Tech Radar on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. That's where we are. Come to the website, techradar.com, as Tom told us at the beginning. I hope everyone's had a good time today. Thank you for this. Another good podcast. We're really getting into the flow of these. Lovely stuff.
Indeed.
If you've enjoyed it, as I said, please give us 5 stars on Apple. We would love that. Try and email the noise cancelling podcast at futurenet.com email address. We won't read it apparently until Cherie finds the login. And we will speak to you next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.